When you read the last part of the Psalms, you just about conclude that all praise is loud, boisterous, noisy. Listen to this last Psalm. Praise the Lord in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty expanse, praise Him for His mighty deeds, praise Him according to His excellent greatness, praise Him with trumpet sound, praise Him with harp and lyre, praise Him with timbrel and dancing, praise Him with string instruments and pipe, praise Him with loud cymbals, praise Him with resounding cymbals, that everything that has breath, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But you know, all praise isn't loud. And all praise isn't boisterous, sort of. All praise does not necessarily fit into that. So I want you to turn to a passage that you probably never thought had anything to do with praise, John chapter 12. Because it is here. It's a different kind. It's a quiet kind of praise. And what I want to talk about is a heart of true praise. And it's all kinds. That is, that's loud and boisterous and clanging cymbals and trumpet sounds. And then there's the quiet stillness of praising the Lord. In the 12th chapter of John, it's the account of the anointing by Mary of Jesus' feet. Listen. Verse 1. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary, therefore, took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people?" Real pious. Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. He just stole from the treasurer. Jesus therefore said, "Let her alone, in order that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." Now I want us to think about a heart of true praise. And in order to balance what I believe the Bible talks about praise, so that we don't have the idea that the only time you're praising the Lord is when you're singing something loud and everybody's just clapping and having a big time. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's the other side of that. Listen to this. Let me tell you what's happening. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to the crucifixion. Won't be long now. And they come to Bethany, and in Bethany, not only is there the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, but there's also Simon the leper's home. And that's more than likely where they are in this particular passage, not in Lazarus' home. And there are several incidences in the gospel that almost are exactly like this, but they're not. And so he has come with his apostles, and they are more than likely at Simon the leper's home. And so the Bible says that Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. So it was not his home necessarily, and Martha and Mary were there. And what do you find Martha doing every time you find her? What's she doing? She's busy serving, and I mean, she's doing her thing and fulfilling her servant spirit. And but with Mary, it's a different kind of story. You would almost think, if you didn't know better, that Martha was very industrious and Mary was very lazy, but she was not. And if you recall in the 10th chapter of Luke, look there just for a moment. 10th chapter of Luke, we find these same two women sort of doing the same thing. And you recall at this time, they're in Mary and Martha and Lazarus' home. And here, again, the Bible says Martha was very distracted. I mean, she's running around, getting everything together. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha's saying, "Well, Lord, why don't you tell my sister to get in the kitchen with me and help me get this meal together?" And Jesus said, "Now, Martha, 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 you're worried, bothered about all of these things." And so you know that instance. Well, here they are in somebody else's home. What's Martha doing? She's in the kitchen serving. What's Mary doing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, I want us to look at this incident under the theme of a true heart of praise. Because I think in this passage, it is all here in the life of this woman by the name of Mary. And so, first of all, let me say that a genuine heart, that is a true heart of praise, a true heart of praise longs for an expression, listen, longs for an expression beyond words. If you recall in the 10th chapter of Luke, She's just sitting there at the feet of Jesus listening, not saying a thing. Here, she's doing something else. But a true heart of praise longs for an expression of what we feel other than just words. You see, if I really and truly love the Lord Jesus Christ, words aren't enough. Now, there's nothing wrong with words because we ought to praise Him. And the Bible says that He inhabits our praises and our words are sacrifices of praises to Him. But my praise to Him cannot be limited to words. It must not be limited to words. And I think Mary was a woman who loved the Lord Jesus Christ and praised Him and worshiped Him and adored Him and longed for an expression more than just simply saying, Lord, I love You and I praise You and I adore You and I do acknowledge You as the Messiah and I do acknowledge You as my Lord and my God. She longed for an expression more than words. And I wonder in your heart, as you think about praising the Lord and reading these passages in the Old Testament and the New Testament, going through the Psalms and praising Him, do you not reach some point in your time of praise with Him that the truth is that words just don't always say everything that you and I would like to express in our praise toward Him? Well, I think in Mary, this is a woman who knew how to praise the Lord quietly. There's nothing wrong with praising Him very loudly. In heaven, it sounds like there's a lot of loud-sounding cymbals and trumpets and shout and praising God. But on the other hand, all praise isn't limited to loudness. But sometimes it can be very, very quiet. And so here's a woman that I believe her heart of praise, she longed for an expression more than just words. Now, look what happened. If you'll notice, the Scripture says in verse 2, so they made Him, that is, they made Jesus and His apostles, a supper. And Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with Him. So what they would do, of course, the table was very, very low on the floor. And they didn't sit in chairs like we do, but they would sort of stretch out. And they would lean on pillows. And so they would just sort of lean around the table and eat and feast and fellowship together. And it's also interesting that the women did not recline at the same table with the men. And so what is about to happen here is something unusual. A second thing I want you to notice here is this, that a heart of true praise desires not only to say something or to do something other than words, but to give something of value. That is, if I really and truly praise the Lord, I can never be satisfied with just coming in this church building and praising Him in songs and telling Him how much I love Him. If I really and truly love the Lord God and I truly praise Him, my heart requires that I give something to Him. That is, love is always looking for new ways to express itself. And when you and I think in terms of praising the Lord, I can't be just satisfied praising Him with words. It requires something else. My heart requires something else of me other than just words. Words can be cheap. I didn't say they always were, but they can be. Now listen to what happens to this woman. You see her sitting at the feet of Jesus in the Luke, the 10th chapter, listening to Him. And the Lord said to Martha, her sister, leave her alone. She's doing a good thing. And hear what happens. Well, they're seated around the table. And the Bible says that Mary slips into the room and takes this very valuable vase of perfume. Which, if you'll notice the phrase here, very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus. Now, that was a perfume that came from an herb up way up between India and Tibet and the Himalayas. And the reason it was so expensive was because they had to bring it so far through all those mountain passes. And so when Judas complains about the fact that it could have been sold for 300 denarii, well, a man's labor for one day's work would be one. So what Judas was saying is, that's worth a whole year's labor. And notice what she does. She slips into the room, takes this perfume, very, very costly, a whole year's labor, and pours it on the feet of Jesus. Now, naturally, if she poured it on His feet, it ran off of His feet onto the floor, and it appeared to be a total waste. And so when you look at it, it looks like what Judas said was true. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the people who are poor? But here's the issue. A heart of true praise desires to give something more than just words. You know, it's totally beyond me, frankly, to think that anybody could come to church week after week after week and ever complain about giving God 10% of their income. I mean, this is God. This isn't the boss over where you work. This is God to whom we give it. Somebody says, where are we giving it to the church? Oh, no, you're not. You're giving it to God. It is the Lord's work. We worship Him and praise Him and adore Him. And part of genuine praise is giving something of value to Him. I'll never forget. We were buying some property and a lady walked down this aisle. I can still see it and hear it right now. She took something off of her. She took a big gold bracelet off her arm and she said, this is the most valuable thing I own. And not begrudgingly, but with a smile, and she said, she took it off and she said, I want to give it. And I think that's the first time it ever dawned on me that the only thing I'd ever given God materially of any value would be money. And as soon as it hit my hand, it's like God said to me, you've never given me anything of any real value to you except money, and that has little value. And immediately the Lord showed me what I needed to give, something that I treasured, something that was valuable to me. When you and I think about praising the Lord, I can't even imagine somebody thinking that they can genuinely praise God and only do it with words without desiring, listen, not having somebody to motivate, desiring to give God something of value. You see, she could have come in with an eyedropper and said, two drops, this is real expensive. But the Bible says, Mary therefore took a pound of very costly perfume, of pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. She put it all on him. Now, she put it on his feet, and it all ran off, at least most of it did, on the floor. And that was the end of it. Let me ask you a question. Isn't Jesus worth more than a pound of perfume? If He's worth more than a pound of perfume, then you and I shouldn't be concerned about how much He cost. If Jesus Christ is my Savior, listen, if He's my Savior, He went to the cross, spikes in both hands, in His feet, thorns on His head, and a javelin in his side, and died before his critics for me, and me complain about giving God 10% of my income. I can't even imagine such a thing. Amen. There is something desperately wrong in a person's thinking if they understand who Jesus really is and rationalize and complain and moan and groan about, oh, I can't give this, that, and the other. My friend, He's everything you and I have. If I love Him and adore Him and praise Him, I'm not going to complain about that. Suppose your husband said, give you a $10 a week allowance? No way. You'd think, well, you cheapskate. You know what? When you love somebody, you don't see how little you can get by with. When you love somebody, you find out, God, what can I do? That's what genuine love's all about. And you see, if I'm really praising the Lord, it's because I love Him. You don't praise somebody you don't love. You may criticize them, but if you love them, genuinely love them, you'll find ways to praise them. For Mary, how did she praise the Lord? Words weren't sufficient. And so what did she do? She had the best she had, an expensive 1 year's salary of a laboring man. And she took it all and poured it on the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and didn't begrudge one bit of it. You know why? Because she loved Him dearly. What have you ever given Him of any value? And do you begrudge giving to Him? And do you write out your check or you put your money in the offering envelope on Sunday with real reservation? My friend, remember who He is. And remember what He did for you. He did for you what nobody who's ever lived, does live, can ever possibly live. Nobody can do for you what Jesus has done. Amen. And if you love Him, you're going to praise Him. And words will never be adequate for that. Listen. Not only did she pour the perfume on His feet, but the third thing I want to say about a heart of true praise neither is just satisfied giving something material, though that's a part of giving. But also a heart of true praise wants to give of oneself. And that is best symbolized in this passage with the fact that not only did she pour her perfume out of the vase on His feet, but then she took her own hair and dried His feet. You see, it's not enough for me just to give money to God. He wants me. He wants you. If I really truly love Him and praise Him and adore Him with all of my heart, He wants me. He wants your time and my time. He wants those gifts and talents that He's given to us. And if I love Him and I really truly praise Him, if it comes out of a true heart of praise, I'm going to want to give to Him. I'm going to want to give myself to Him. I want to be open and emptied to Him. I want to be surrendered to Him. I want to walk uprightly before Him. I want whatever He wants, that's what I want. If it is a heart of true praise, I'm not satisfied with words. I'm not just satisfied giving things. I want to give myself to one whom I love and genuinely praise. That's the true heart of praise. And sometimes all praise doesn't come out of a true heart of praise. Sometimes it's lip service. But if it's true, something deep down inside of us desires to express it. Listen, when you're in love, you've just got to give. Nobody has to motivate you to do it. You want to give. What do? You want to give of what you have. You want to give of yourself. That's what loving is all about. Loving is all about giving. And praising is adoring, and praising is expressing. And expressions are not limited to words, but the giving of that which I have and the giving of myself to Him, that's what pleases and honors Him. And so when you look at the life of this woman, what did she do? She poured the most valuable thing she had on the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and wiped them dry with her own hair. But there's something else about this that's interesting. When you and I have a true heart of praise, we're not inhibited by the attitude of others. You say, well, now, haven't you said that before? I have, in a different way, because I want to say it again. Not inhibited by the attitude of others. For example, first of all, she didn't really have any business sort of going in there where all of these men were reclining around the table and sort of walking in and interrupting him. I'm sure they were talking and sort of enjoying themselves. And here comes Mary in, sits down at the feet of Jesus, and what does she do? Sits down, takes this vase, breaks it open, and pours it on Jesus' feet. Now, she wasn't concerned about the fact that that was probably not the most proper place for her to be. That didn't bother her. And secondly, I'm sure that she had already thought about the fact that more than likely somebody would question her pouring all that perfume on the feet of Jesus. But you know what? The only thing in Mary's mind when she walked in that room was one thing. She loved Jesus. And she walked in there with her mind on Him, and she walked in there with one objective, and that is to express her praise and love and worship and adoration of this man, whom she believed to be the Messiah, the Son of God. And so you know what happened? She didn't worry about what the rest of them thought. And she wasn't concerned about what kind of value they placed on that perfume. In her mind, you know what she was thinking? What in the world is a pound of nard compared to the Son of God? There was no comparison. She wasn't inhibited by what somebody else thought about how much she spent on it, how much it cost, or whether she was in the right place at the right time. She simply desired to express something in her heart she could not keep quiet. And so I want to say again, you can't praise the Lord if you're concerned about what somebody else is going to think. You can't be sensitive to what's going on around you and praise the Lord. You just can't do it. Because you see, if I'm really praising him, he has my full attention. If I'm really praising him, I'm thinking about him. Now, this is not to say when you're learning new choruses that you don't have to concentrate, but after you get over learning those and you know what the words are, then you can sing them back to him with true praise. But a heart of true praise is uninhibited. Doesn't act foolish. That is, she didn't jump up and down and come dancing around that table two or three times and then sit down at the feet of Jesus. No, you know what she did? She just slipped in very quietly. And you see, this was Mary's way of praising God. When you find her, it's quiet. All praise isn't quiet. God never intended for it to be. And probably, if you took the scriptures and read all the verses on praise, more of them are verbal, loud expressions of the glory and the majesty and the sovereignty and the power and the love of God. But on the other hand, there is that quiet praise that expresses itself in more than words, in what we have to give and giving of ourselves in a very uninhibited fashion. Now listen. Not only that, I love this verse. Listen to what happens. Verse 3. Mary therefore took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of her perfume. Which leads me to say this. When we praise him out of a pure heart, something does happen around us. That is, there's something contagious about genuine praise. There's something uplifting and encouraging. You see, if you're standing by someone who's really praising the Lord, and I mean it's coming out of a heart of praise, when it's genuine praise, it's like an aroma. It's like a fragrance. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And you remember what Paul said here about this very same idea. Chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 14. Listen to what he said about us believers. He says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ. And look at this. And manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we're not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity. But as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. He says, you and I are to be like a fragrance, like a sweet aroma. Therefore, when you and I meet together and fellowship together to praise the Lord, in whatever fashion we choose to do it, he says, our life is like a fragrance. You see, Jesus Christ living on the inside of you and me, expressing his life through us, he says it's like a sweet aroma. Now, that aroma to those who are lost is like death. But to those who are saved, there's a joy in that. When you and I meet together and praise the Lord, whatever form it may take, it is like a fragrance. That is, when we begin to praise him together, I don't have to tell you, you begin to feel something. You sort of begin to sense what's going on in the atmosphere. Now, when she broke that vase and poured out that perfume, everybody in that room was affected by it because it filled the room. Genuine praise affects the atmosphere. When it comes out of a heart that is genuinely loving and praising and adoring Jesus Christ, you feel something, you sense something. It is uplifting and energizing and strengthening. That's the power of it. When you and I start singing about praising the Lord and loving and adoring him, and, oh, come, let us adore him, love him and worship him and praise him, I'm here to tell you, a lost person is going to have a very, very difficult time sitting in the midst of that and beginning to sense something about the spirit of these people without getting under conviction. That's the power of praise. He or she won't understand what's going on. They just know that there's something going on in this place they can't put their finger on. No preaching's been going on yet. It's not the praying. It is something about the elevation of praise in the atmosphere. It is contagious. Something happens in the human heart. One other thing I want you to see about it in this passage. And that is, what was Jesus' response to this? You know, he could have said the same thing Judas did. He could have said, hold it, Mary. Don't do it. Don't waste all of this perfume on me, on my feet. Besides that, I'm going to be crucified in about a week. No. He let her do it, and listen to what he said. Verse 7, Jesus therefore said, let her alone, in order that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. Which leads me to say one last thing, and that's this. A heart of genuine praise is always accepted by the Lord. Some people hold up their hands, some people put their hands in the pocket. Some people may stand with folded hands, and some people may sing. Some people may be so praising in their spirit, they don't want to say anything. They just want to close their eyes, or they may keep their eyes open. Whatever it might be, it is what you feel in your heart toward Christ. But one thing for sure, whether it comes out of loud-sounding cymbals from the orchestra, or whether it comes from the sounding of a trumpet, the lifting of my voice, the giving of money, the giving of myself, whatever it is accepted in the eyes of God when it comes out of a heart that really and truly loves Him. Not a heart that's religious. Listen, you can have a religious heart, praise isn't worth anything. But if it comes out of a heart that is genuinely in love with Jesus Christ, He accepts it as a gift to Him. And what happens in return? Something happens to us in return when you and I praise Him. All I'm saying to you is this, that praise can be loud and wonderful and fulfilling and uplifting and contagious and exciting. And praise can be quiet and subdued, wordless. Equal as wonderful, equal as exciting, equally as fulfilling. Now, the reason I want to say that is this, because I don't want somebody to get the idea that all praise has to fall into a certain category, and therefore when you get home and you get on your knees, you've got to be talking loudly and singing and lifting your hands and doing all these things. You can. There's nothing wrong with that. But praise is what you feel. Praise is the expression that you sense in your spirit. You can't look at somebody else and see, how do I praise God? We can learn from each other, but ultimately it has to come from a heart that is genuinely in love with Jesus Christ. So the big question is this. Do I really love the Lord Jesus, or am I afraid of Him? Is it fear of Him or love for Him? Now, the biblical view of fear of Him is reverence for Him. That's one kind of fear, and that's the kind of fear all of us ought to have. But do you and I really and truly love Jesus? Are we contented just being on our knees before Him or sitting quietly before Him and talking to Him? Is there contentment in that, or do we have to be doing something all the time? Are you satisfied with just having Him? And you see, I hear people quote this verse all the time. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Delight thyself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. And a lot of folks, when they want something, they start quoting that verse. Delight yourself in the eyes of the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, the emphasis of that passage is delighting thyself in Him. That is, am I just satisfied having Him? Do I love Him enough? That is, am I contented being alone with Him and talking and listening and being quiet and just expressing what I feel toward Him? Or do I have to be doing something with somebody? You see, when you love someone, it may take all kinds of expressions. And one of them is to praise them. That's why we say a man should praise his wife. A woman should praise her husband. We should praise our children for their good deeds or whatever it might be. When it comes to praising the Lord, we praise Him for who He is, for what He's done, for what He's doing, for what He's going to do, for the promises He's given us, but most of all for just being Himself. Let me ask you a question. Why do you want someone to love you? Why do you want someone to love you? Well, let me ask you this. Why do you think people love you? You see, the correct answer to that, at least what we ought to be asking, is we want someone to love us not for what we do, not for what we have, not for where we've been, not for where we're going, not for what we've promised. We want to be loved for just one reason. We just want them to love us Because we are just us. Otherwise, the love's conditional. If you act a certain way, if you have so-and-so, if you do this, that's not the kind of love you and I want. We want to be loved on the basis of one thing. Just love me because of me, not for any other reason. How should we love Jesus? Just because he's Jesus. That's good enough. You see, one of the things that's so important about praise is this. If I don't know how to love Jesus, more than likely I don't know how to love other folks. But if I know how to love him, then I know how to relate to myself, and I may know how to love somebody else. And how do you love him? Not because of 1,000 reasons, what he's done, but just because he's who he is. And every single one of us wants to be loved for the same reason. Not for what we're going to give, not for what we're going to do, but just because we are us. Because all of us are worthy of being loved. And so when you and I come to loving him and praise him, be sure that the praise isn't always for something that he's done. No, love is willing to give and expect nothing in return. But you and I know that it's impossible to love him and to praise him and to adore him and to bless him and to obey him without getting blessed in return. But I believe he wants to be loved for who he is, just like you do and just like I do. A true heart of praise is longing to express itself in other than just words, but it's going to give, and it's going to give of itself. That's what true praise is all about. Not inhibited by what other people think or how they may respond. Not counting the cost. Not concerned about those things. And that kind of loving praise our Heavenly Father accepts. Have you ever been down praying? And when you finish, it's like the Lord says, that's good. Amen. That's good. Or do you get up wondering if God hears? In other words, you see, what we forget is that he loves us genuinely. And if you want to know how God feels about you, if you're a parent, think about, if you're a godly parent and really love your children, think about how you love your children. They come to you and pour out their heart to you. What do you say? Or when they come to you and they've done something that you really think was great, what do you say? Well, I believe God must say the same thing to us. I like that. That's good. You see, we have him up here judging everything. Listen, think about this. He knows how wicked this world is, how vile it is, how difficult it is to live a Christian life. He understands all that. And when he sees you make it through the day, I believe God says, that's good. You did good today. I love you. Not because you did good. I just love you. But somehow it's real tough for most folks to think that God's up in heaven saying, I really love you. That was good. But that's the kind of Heavenly Father is. And you know what? Now, hear me carefully so you won't misunderstand. While God is sovereign and transcendent, that means he sits upon his throne above and beyond all creation and everything that will ever be created. Seated upon his throne, lofty and high and lifted up and transcendent above and beyond and in full control, the more I'm able to understand his position in this universe. And on the other hand, in my spirit, the more I'm able to bring him down here, where I live every day, and understand that he understands and feel what I feel, the more I'm going to be able to love him, the more free I'm going to be able to express my real, genuine feelings to him, and the more I'm going to be able to feel that he loves me in those simple little things in life. Until you understand he's your friend, that he loves you genuinely, unconditionally, understands you. The praise may have to be sort of worked at, but once you begin to understand who he is and you become free with him, you know what? It's just like you walking up, hugging your wife and giving her a big squeeze and telling her she's the most wonderful gal in the world. You know what? That's just normal if you're in love with somebody. You and I should love the Lord Jesus Christ with a free, loving, feeling of being accepted no matter what. And you see, there's a lot of theology out there today about praise. Friend, it all starts with loving Jesus. And if that's not the foundation of it, the theology isn't worth listening to. It's me falling in love with Him. And then from my heart is going to come true praise. So ask yourself the question, do I really love Jesus Christ? Then ask yourself this question, well, if I do, how do I express it? The third question, do I feel His love for me, or do I just know it in my mind? And if I feel it, how do I feel it? And if I feel it, when do I feel it? Do I walk in the awareness of His love? Listen, if I walk in the awareness of His love, I will walk in continuous praise of the Son of God. If it's genuine praise born out of love, it just flows. You've been to the mountains, and you've seen springs. You walk up on a little spring in the mountainside. There's no water over there pumping water out. What's happening? It's just flowing all the time, just flowing all the time. When you and I are in love with Jesus, our praise is going to flow. Lord Jesus, we praise You and love You and adore You and thank You. And we would agree that words will never be able to express all that we feel. We want our life to express it. And we desire that the Holy Spirit living within us will be able to express through us what words won't ever express. And we thank You that one of these days when we stand in Your presence in heaven, hallelujah, there will be no inhibitions. We will have a heavenly language that makes it possible for us to adore You with no inhibitions, in perfect, complete freedom, to express the desires of our love and our adoration, our praise, in such a fashion that we will sense and know that You are receiving the full impact of what we feel in our heart. Would You speak to that somebody's heart and help them to understand that once they trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they will understand what it means to want to know how to love You better. I pray, Father, for those who have sensed in their heart, not in a real, genuine, heartfelt love. They want to love You, Lord, and You understand that. Would You begin to pry loose, peel off the layers, get down to where their heart is until they can really love You the way they want to, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.